If everybody will take their seats. Heard the story of a gentleman who had to go in for his annual checkup with his doctor and had all the lab work done beforehand, sat down with the doctor, and the doctor examined for a little while, and he excused himself, said, "I have to go outside and check on something." Comes back into the examination room, he says, "I have some bad news for you." And he said, "What?" He goes, "Well, you need to prepare yourself. You really don't have that long to live." "But, Doc, I feel fine." "Well, it's not going to be that much longer before, I mean, you need to prepare yourself." "Well, how long do I have left?" He said, 5. "Years? Months? Weeks?" 4. 3. 2. That's bad news, but today we're going to be sharing with you what's good news and how to share your faith. And it's good news for the people you share it with. And I think everybody can relate to the fact that if they were walking along a lake or something, they saw someone drowning, you would, at a minimum, call 911 or, you know, look around for a lifeguard or a life buoy that you could throw that person. You wouldn't just walk on and ignore that person. Well, the people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're in the same situation. They're drowning. And so we've all been called to spread the gospel. And Ed is going to be speaking on that today. It's the 4th chapter of the Start Bible. So before I have him come up here, does anybody need a copy of the Start Bible? Okay, I'll bring those around. And Ed?
Thank you, Don. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up to John 9 and just keep it open there. We'll get to it a little later. My name is Ed Prescott. For those who don't know who I am, I've been going here about 20 years, and that may surprise some of you because you don't know who I am, and I don't know your names, and that I'll get to. I grew up in a Christian church. My parents were Christians, and attended church almost every Sunday, a lot of times almost every Wednesday, and had a pretty decent upbringing. I didn't get in trouble. I was kind of the shy person, quiet, and I was always the shortest person in the class. When I got out of high school, I went to the military, into the Navy, and I spent 6 years in the Navy. Well, they say the Navy, in the military, you either, as a Christian, you either go in there and get stronger, or you go way the wrong way. And for the first couple of years I was in there, about first 2 years, I kind of went the way the wrong way. And I had to make a decision somewhere along the line. Am I going to be a Christian or am I not? Am I going to follow the Lord or am I not? Because I know that as a witness, my testimony to the people around me was affected by what I did. And it wasn't to follow this rule or follow that rule, although the church I was in at the time was pretty legalistic. It was, I want to be what I'm supposed to be to God. I want to be His servant. And there was a day in my life, and I can't give you a date, I can't give you a time. I know exactly where I was. I was on the 13th floor of my apartment building where I lived, looking out over Pearl Harbor, and said, I'm going to be a Christian. From here on, I'm going to serve God. And I have. I've not turned back from that. Am I perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yeah, plenty. Don't ask my wife, please. I'd be in trouble. There's three things that I can point to you in my life, three major events in my life where I know God has blessed me. One, I met my wife in church after I made that commitment, years after that, and it wasn't that it was not a chance meeting. We knew each other for a year before I looked at her and said, you know what, I could date her. And things evolved from there, and here we are. And I am so glad for that. I feel that's a huge blessing in my life. The second thing was the occupation that I do. I love what I do, and when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life because you enjoy it, and I really do. And I think God's led me there. I know God's led me there because He's used me through that. The third thing was our move here to Grand Junction 20 years ago. That was not a coincidence. We were on a trip around the country, not around the country, but the western part of the United States to find a place to live. And we got stuck here, literally. And we could live here. And I haven't regretted that for a moment. And I know God was in that. It's a big story. It's a long story. And there's a lot of details to it that show God was in that. So I know God's directing my life. And the blessings that I've received from that have been huge. That's my witness. I wasn't on drugs. I didn't get saved out of the occult. I didn't do all the bad things. But I can look back and I can tell you God's been good to me. He's been good to my family. Has it been perfect? No. Has it been easy? Sometimes no. We're here to share God to those around us, not to hold it into ourselves. I'm kind of an introvert, and not all the time. It's not hard for me to get up and speak in front of people because I've done it many times before in my job. But I want to give you a little example of that and where I was convicted, and this just happened a couple weeks ago. Matt, you mentioned in our group the other day, I think it was you, that when you don't talk with people around you, that someone told you it's a sign of selfishness, maybe. I was trying to set up some equipment at work, and I was having trouble doing it, and I'd had a guy from our IT department come in and help me with that the very day before. And I was having trouble. I went back to IT. He wasn't there, so I got my supervisor to come out and help me. And he was able to change some things around, get my name in there, and I was able to bring up the program I needed. And he said, "Ed, who'd helped you last time?" And I told him, I says, "It was so-and-so from the IT department." He says, "You don't know his name?" And I said, "Well, I think it's Dwayne. Ed, Dwayne's not worked here for a year." "Well, I don't." "See, Ed, you don't know anybody's name, do you? You know some of the people you work with. I know every name in the department. I can tell you the name of every person I run into in the department. I know the name of the people I work with. Shame on me for not reaching out." And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, why there's a connection between his convicting me, actually God speaking through him, convicting me of that, and why I'm the last person you want up here talking to you about witnessing. My life, guys, it's the same here as it is there, as it is at home. I don't change. I don't have to put on a mask anywhere I go. And anybody I work with, that I work closely with, that knows me will tell you that. I have good news. At your great name. God, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for your presence. And Father, we turn this over to you. Father, I wouldn't have to say another word if you just speak through this microphone. And Lord, I know that. Father, I am convicted for my lack of speaking out at times when I need to. Lord, and I just pray for direction, Father, for each one of us. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move us in a mighty way. Lord, that we would be bold to talk about you to those around us. That we would be bold to step out to that person that we meet on the street. Lord, and we just give this time over to you, Father, and I just thank you for all things. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus, our Savior, Lord. Amen. All through life, we come in contact with multiple people in many different levels. Our family, our close friends know us best. They've seen us in the good times and the bad. Through the years and countless experiences, they've gone through those with us. They've seen our reactions. They've seen how we handled adversity. Neighbors know us, even only if by face or name. Some know better than others. Others know us in specific roles, like our co-workers, our employer, our fellow students, club members, the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis. There are other people who only meet us in passing, the passenger in the seat next to us, the waiter, the waitress, the store clerk, or people we meet on the street. These are the people Jesus was talking about when he said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." I gave you a bunch of verses, so I'm not going to hesitate for those. We'll go through those. So some of them will pop up on the screen and some won't. How does this happen? How do we give that good news everywhere to everyone we meet or the people we meet? For most of us, the thought of witnessing induces a heart-thumping, knee-knocking reaction. We don't know where to begin or what to say. I was in a church in San Diego And we had a program where we were going to go out to the people that visited us. It was a visitation program. You go out, they fill out the visitation card, and you go out and meet those people at their homes. And the pastor and I knew him. He actually preached in the church where I grew up, so this was a different church. And I went out on the first night with him, and he's talking to me. He says, "Ed, I'm a little nervous here. I've not done this before." And I'm looking over at him. I say, "Wait a minute, you're pastor of the church, and you're nervous?" And I said, "Okay, this is going to go good." But we each have our fears. No matter who you are, we each have those fears, and we need to overcome those. We want to figure out how this happens. How do we spread this word? We're reluctant due to fears being rejected or put on the spot. If we can't answer the people's questions they may ask, you may feel like you should wait until you know the scripture better. But all you need to begin sharing your faith with others is a changed heart. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the changed heart. In John 9, 1 through 41, we find the story of the blind man whom Jesus healed. At the end of this, Jesus was walking by. It says, "Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God would be revealed through him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go and wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen him, or had seen that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' And he said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed and received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." I'm going to go down to the bottom of that passage. And he tells the Pharisees, people that were questioning him, "I was blind, but now I can see." Our job is to open the eyes of the people, to introduce them to Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is great and greatly to be praised. That's our job. Do we have a great God? Do we serve a great God? Make that choice in your heart that I do serve a great God. I can tell other people about that. The other part of that story that stuck out in my mind was the first five words. "Now, as Jesus passed by." Multiple stories in the New Testament with Jesus, it's an encounter. He took the time as he passed by to stop. Do we take the time to stop? Ask that person, "Hey, can I pray with you? Is there something I can do to help you? How's life?" As he passed by, as we pass by. As we mature as Christians, we should be growing in our faith and our knowledge of the Word. In this lesson, we want to discover three things: power to share your faith, how to sharing a simple message, and how to sharing a personal message. The salesman versus a postman was kind of eye-opening to me. You know, you ever had a magazine salesman come to your house? Or how about the Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman? That's called pressure. How about the car dealership? And I don't want to say used car dealership because that gives them a bad name. They're not all like that. Given a sales pitch, you're expecting a return from that. You're expecting something that you can go back and report on. Maybe a dit in your box, you know, or some reward from the boss. Being a postman, you don't expect a return. You're dropping. You're making the delivery. You go from house to house, box to box. We're in the job of making the delivery. God has given us the tools. He's given us the ability to make that delivery, exercise that program, exercise that gift that God has given us. We're responsible to deliver the message. It's up to the recipient to respond. We can lead people to Christ, but only God, it's only God who can save them. How many of you heard the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? I know that's real. I used to have a horse, and he didn't mind very well sometimes. Remember, it's their decision. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There is a verse, and Jeff would have to tell me where it's at. It's in the Old Testament, Isaiah or Jeremiah, where it says that God goes out before us. Even before we go out, he already knows where we're going. He knows the people whose hearts we're going to touch. So if God's working before us, do we have anything to fear about delivering that message? Power. Discover the power in your faith, or power to share your faith. We cannot convert anyone, but the Lord will give us the power to be his witness for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8. But you, that's all of us, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's in our little neighborhood, people right around us. Judea, the outskirts. Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You may still feel nervous when you share your faith, but you can be sure the Holy Spirit will help you. God never asked us to do anything without giving us the strength to do it. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, I can do all things. The hard things, the things that turn our stomach, the things that others would balk at. You know, we think of the people over in Iraq and Afghanistan, Syria, that have had a gun to their head, and they said, I'm not going to renounce the name of Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. From the easy to the most difficult. Discover how to share a simple message. Paul wrote again in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And again in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Isaiah 55:10-11, I relate to that because I've got a farm that I work on my time off. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it does not return there, but waters the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. It shall accomplish what I please, not what you please, not what I please, not what Jeff please, but what I please. This is why we must read God's word, and begin to memorize it so that our sharing will be effective. So, do we wait until we have a lot of scripture to be effective? I hope not, because I don't have a lot of scripture memorized. That's my light point, guys. And that's when I was asked to do this. I was on vacation, actually, and I came back off vacation. And the elders and the people who Don had asked to give this talk had made their selection of the different assignments that were given out. And so I came back off vacation. And I saw Don. I said, Don, I said, I don't know what chapter I'm teaching. He says, you got chapter 4. And I said, what's chapter 4? He says, witnessing. Uh-oh. Thanks, guys. God knows our weaknesses, and he wants to strengthen us right there. He wants to stretch us. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and I've shared that I'm going to be doing this. Ed, you're going to get stretched. And yeah, and you know what? I accept that. I hope so. Because I want to grow. That there's a point, you know, a long time ago I told you I stood and I said, I want to live my life for this. There's a point where you stop just living. You start excelling. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be a better person or anything. It just means I want to live better for Him. The four R's: realize, recognize, repent, and receive. This is a simple thing. It's just meant for memory. There are a lot of other tools that you can use. There's one called Romans Road. There's another one, and I guess they would call it an acrostic, where it shows Christ, the cross spread between the two islands, and that's the only way, is the cross. And there's verses that go along with that. In this study, it's the four R's: realize, recognize, repent, and receive. Realize we're all sinners. I am. Was. I needed Jesus Christ in my heart. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not just me. Is that true? All right. Recognize Jesus as Savior. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 would fit very well in there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Repent. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Again, 1 John 1:9 would fit in there. Most of you should know that or do know that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive Jesus as our Savior. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And one that would fit in there nicely is Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that, hears my voice and opens that door. So it's a tool we can use. People need to know when you meet them. The four R's, very simple. Realize, recognize, repent, and receive. And it's a very simple witness to them. How to share a personal message. Okay, Jesus said, preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. We are God's witnesses to the world we live in, both in word and action. It's both something we do and something we are. A little interesting tidbit, if you read through this, says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. How many people have you run into that are Christians by word, but you're looking at them and say, where's the fruit? Where's the example? I work with a guy that's been on medical disability because of multiple injuries more than I've been on my job practically. And I talk with some people about that, and it just over and over. And it's not just a medical problem. It's he stretches himself, works out too hard, injures his shoulders, injures his knees, and a lot of complaints. But he's a Christian. Other people, a neighbor of mine came up to me and says, Ed, I know you're a Christian, but I know he is too, but how come he sits on his porch all day long while his wife goes out and works? He's able to work. He's completely able. Our witness is important, not just what we say with our mouth, but what we live. I have a Christian friend also that I work with that lives out loud, really loud. He, again, is a social butterfly, though, and he can tell you the name of every person I work with, too. But I look to him, and we talk quite a bit at work and share with each other. Salt and light. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. That's you and me. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all men who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I live just below Mount Garfield, and I don't know if any of you hiked up Mount Garfield. One, two, three, four, five. I see the hand, Thomas. My son and I rode up there on our motorcycles. You can get up the backside, and there's actually a Jeep trail goes up there. It's pretty steep, but rode up there on the motorcycles during the daytime. And we got up on top. We weren't actually on the peak of Garfield. We were just east of there a ways. And I called Sarah, and I said, "Hey, can you see us?" And she's out there looking, looking, looking. She couldn't see us at all. We tried to reflect the motorcycles off the sun. She said she didn't see us. The other night, and many nights this has happened, either sitting at our house or as I'm driving home from work or stuff, you'll be driving home at night, and you'll see a light clear up at the top of the Mount Garfield. Or you'll see it on the trail coming down from Mount Garfield. You can see it from miles away. Let your light shine. Don't put it under a bush. Salt, whatever it touches, it affects. It also stimulates thirst. We are to have that positive effect on those around us and our lives and witnesses. I'm sorry. We are to have that positive effect on those around us and our lives, and the witness we are and share should draw others to Christ and the gift of salvation. You know that salt also burns in a wound? If you meet somebody that's been wounded and you don't share what you have, or you're not your life isn't what you portray it to be, that wound hurts. Light, in the same way, light catches the eye and it draws the eye away from the darkness. Our sharing the gospel is like holding up a light for others to see. Sharing our faith. Opportunities to talk about your faith or share your witness will come. Are you ready? Are you prepared? 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." Are we asking God to open the doors to share our faith? Should that be something that we do every morning before we leave our house? As we drive to work, wherever we go, you know, "God, use me. I am an instrument. I am your tool. Use me." A while back, Emily and Sarah were here, and I sat next to Emily in church, and they were talking about the church planting that he'd done, the witness that. And I don't remember this sermon Jeff had taught, but it discussed witnessing. And at the end of the service, I looked over at Emily, and I said, "Emily, that's you. You're the ultimate witness." And he says, "Why?" And I says, "Well, you plant the churches all over the place." And I told him a little bit about my conviction. And he says, "Ed," he says, "you know, when you talk to people, find out where they're at. Ask them simple questions. How you doing? How's life? Everything going okay?" Talk to them simply. And then ask them, "Hey, can I pray for you?" You'd be surprised at the response, he said, that you get from people. And this is a man that's in a country where the Muslims want to kill the Christians. Talking to people, saying, "Hey, can I pray for you?" I know I have a friend that works in a grocery store, retail store, and tells the story that all through the day, people come through the line where she works, and she gets the opportunity to pray for them. She gets the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus, and she uses that. She came to our Bible study, and she's got phone numbers, names, prayer requests, all written all on both arms sometimes. You know, wow, what a witness. I was kind of shamed by that. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the right people at the right time and will also help you to know what to say. We don't have to put a gun to people's head to force them to convert. We don't have to give them the sales pitch, you know, to try to fool them or pressure them into it. That's a choice they make, and God's already prepared that way before we get there. Can you cue that up? I run into people all day, every day that I'm at work who have no hope, most of them in extreme circumstances. I'll challenge you to memorize the four R's and the four verses that go with it, the same as I'll challenge myself to put that in my memory bank. So when you run into that next person, you do something. It's us. It's not someone else. It's us. The next two pages in your book are for you to fill out and just respond to that. One, the last page, page 21. What is your testimony? If you've got it written down, you've got it in your head, you're prepared to do something. You're prepared to tell that person why we serve a great God and why it is so important that Jesus, we are Jesus to them and that they know him. Thank you.
All right, before we pray and then break up into our groups, I just want to quickly relate a story that kind of puts things into perspective. And a lot of people are aware of the fact that Greg Laurie is a very, you know, powerful and well-known evangelist, and a lot of people even consider him to be the heir apparent to Billy Graham. And we'll see. You know, the Lord definitely uses him in a powerful way, but he hasn't always been a powerful speaker and a man used by God as an evangelist. When he first came to know the Lord, and he was living there in Newport Beach, the first week he just wanted to do something for God and was so excited. And he didn't know what to do, but he just wanted to tell people about Jesus. So he went down to Newport Beach and was walking along, and he was really super nervous, and he's almost kind of glad of the fact that every time he went up to someone and said, "Can I talk to you about Jesus?" they would treat him like a leper and walk away. And but then when he saw this older lady, and she was about 75, 80 years old, sitting there on a bench there in Newport Beach, and he walked up to her and he said, "You know, can I talk to you about Jesus?" And she said, "Okay." And he was terrified. He thought, "What am I going to do now?" Well, he had this tract in his pocket. And I don't know if it was a Chick Publications tract and or, you know, some older tract, but he pulled it out, and he was so nervous that all he could do was just read to this woman verbatim what was in the tract. And, you know, this is a hilarious story, especially when he's telling it, and I don't do it any justice, but, you know, he gets to the point where he goes, "Now that I've explained all these things to you, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And she says, "Yes, I'd like to do that." Well, then he was really terrified. He goes, "Oh, no, what do I do now?" And thankfully, there was a sinner's prayer written down there in the track. He just read verbatim the sinner's prayer, and she prayed to receive Christ. And that was the first person he led to the Lord, you know, as a brand new baby Christian. And so, you know, we all are called to share Christ with other people. And like Ed said, through our lives, through example, he may call you to talk to someone, a coworker or a stranger on the street. But I just want to encourage you, like Ed said, to think about the four R's and, you know, pray, you know, "Lord, who do you want me to tell about Jesus?" You know, open up a door, open up an opportunity, and, you know, the Lord will open up that door. And you say, "Okay, I'm going to open up that door. Let's see what happens." So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for what you have done here tonight, that we were able to study your word and realize that you have called us all to evangelize, that you've called us all to preach the gospel and make disciples of men throughout the earth. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We know that even more so in these last days, we know that our world, Lord, you don't even have to open up a newspaper or see the news to see the turmoil in our country and throughout the world. We know, Lord, that you are coming back soon. And that should just absolutely push us to share your message, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ dying for our sins, that he can give us eternal life. That should even push us even harder to share that message with the lost. And Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon this valley, that you would just pour your spirit upon it and give us opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would be upon all the musicians that are flying into town right now, and they're going to be performing down there at Night Vision in Olathe. Lord, we just pray that your hand would be upon the musicians and the staff and the volunteers, that many people will come to know Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for everything you've done, and we pray for opportunities in our own lives, our individual lives, our daily lives, to tell people about Jesus, even if it's by the godly example by which we live. So we thank you, and we give you all the glories. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three new folks, right? A couple. Let's go ahead and break it up into our groups. Everybody knows which group they're in. If you want to go ahead and join with Leslie there, and Aaron can come over and into the front here if you would like. Thank you. Also, I want to just encourage everybody to come out next week. Jeff Beasley is going to be talking about the Trinity. That's definitely a hard subject to understand. Our minds are so finite, it's hard for us to understand how can three persons be one God. But he's going to be blessing us with an awesome study. Thank you.